All right, we're recording. This is scary shit. I've never done this before.
It's just hitting a button.
Well, it is, but at the same time, I'm also like, I like watch videos on doing this and watch Greg do it, and Greg's really good at it.
Well, Greg's a smart guy.
Yeah, and everybody else is like, sitting where you're sitting is really easy. Sitting where I'm at is like, I'm fucking freaking out already. Well, you're... All right, so we're going to leave that in there.
You're a trooper.
We're going to leave that in there anyway. So... we actually have no name for this podcast. That's why we just started talking rather than actually playing music or something. And we're not at the picture that Greg had online of my shop with my little broadcast studio in the corner.
Oh, that is cool. Does it still have the hair dryer?
Yep, that's for the guests.
I like that chair.
The hair dryer is where the guests sit, and then I have a nice little picture of a pinup doll board that Tanner drew, my jukebox, and everything. There's a ukulele in there. It's kind of...
Instead of the whole sound system, have you thought about just like an old school, like realistic tape player with the two buttons that you push down? I could push it and you go.
I should.
It's like when you tried to record the Journey song on the radio and you just had to get it at the right moment.
Yep. When we were kids, that's what we did. Sat in our downstairs in the basement and waited for, you know, you hope that the DJs would say what song is coming up so you could be ready. Otherwise, think about it, you missed like the first 2-3 seconds of every song because you were hitting play and record at the same time.
If we're going to try and keep this to a half hour,
we better get going. Let's go back. Yeah.
Is that, good. By the way, is that cicadas going? Yeah. Like, it sounds so rustic.
It is. Well, so we're down in Decor. We're at our cabin out on the lake down here. Eric Sovereign lives literally... five of our blocks, because none of our blocks are equal, but it's sort of like five blocks up the hill.
We figured it was, we argued whether it was 80 feet or 100 feet up.
It's up from here, and it is all up from here. And so this is my first podcast, and I figured the only way I'm going to do one is if I can get Sav to actually do it with me, because when you think about it, he is the, he was... kind of the voice for Surly. He was definitely the voice for many of the single speed world championships.
Single speed USA.
Did you ever do any for worlds, like in Napa or anything?
I did. No, I was not in the organizing committee, so I didn't. Not in an official capacity. I may have just made a lot of noise.
Well, it was just he put on a fucking cowboy hat and a megaphone and then walked the buildings. It was
that might have been it.
And then he's also you are the voice for almost all the Homie Fests, right?
I did do that for quite a while. It was the middle years of Homie Fall Fest when, the original people didn't want to do it anymore. And then Corson and I and Brower kind of took over for a while.
And now he's out of the bike industry.
Entirely.
I'll ask right away, you like that? Do you miss it?
I miss the people. I worked with great folks and I got to see great people. And there's so many good bike shops and... You know, honestly, though, I mean, I've been in bikes 25 years or something like that. I mean, I got my first bike shop job in 1989, and apart from a couple other things. I mean, so it was a long run, and I don't know. It's nice to not talk about bikes for a while.
which is awesome, because this is where this is going.
This is where we're going. We're going to talk about bikes.
I pretty much told them that we're going to do bike talk, sort of, but there's going to be – I've got friends that want to talk about music. I got friends that want to talk about – the world, I don't know, because I'm not getting involved. Beer, these guys talk about beer too. So the other thing that probably nobody knows is that you are the voice of Bucketball World Championship.
Oh, the Bucketball World Championship that I was talking about that the other day. Actually, that was a pivotal moment in my son's life. Jack, who is next week, he's turning 13. But when we first moved down to Decorah, which was about 12 years ago, we started having the Dirt Burger and having some people down for, you know, fun and enjoyment, ride the trails. And we started playing bucketball. And one of the first times that he came down, he was probably 4 or 3 or something like that. And mom brought him down in the Burley, and we were all acting like yahoos and kicking a bucket around with our bikes. And he went home, and we had gotten him one of those Strider bikes, and he had no interest in it.
Trying to remember this.
He was like, that's whatever. I don't want anything to do with it. And he came down and watched us play bucketball, and he went home apparently. He said, Mama, give me a bucket. So he started kicking this little gallon pail around our little parking pad, and that was kind of how we started riding bikes. So it's all downhill from bucketball. But we only broke John Fleck's toe once.
Oh, that's right.
Safety tip, don't play bucketball in sandals.
Yes, that was ugly. I think I was in sandals too, so I stayed clear of pretty much everything.
I think you won that year. That was the inaugural.
No, yeah, it was Fiona and I and
O'Gara.
O'Gara. And Fiona carried O'Gara on her back. I still have that picture.
That's a good photo.
Now you own Cardboard Robot.
Cardboard Robot. It's art supplies and cool toys and stuff like that. It's the opposite of what I used to do. I can't say fuck as much.
That sucks.
I don't really have the desire to, though. That's the cool thing. I'm good with it.
I struggle with it, and I do it too much, and I really have to be careful because it's really bad in my other lines of work. So
I spent part of the 90s as a social study teacher. I've done a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I had a switch. I could turn it off. I enjoy colorful language. I like cussing.
I think that swallow just came through, didn't it?
It did, but that's all right. I think it's got a great. You can make a real colorful palette of words if you use a lot of the four letters. But I also, there's a time and a place. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting, old and whatnot. But I don't care. I don't say fuck as much.
So you guys are doing okay through the whole COVID thing?
Yeah. We were closed for 2 months. We have an online store and a lot of locals, got orders to me, whether it was through the online store or through email or phone or Instagram or Facebook or standing outside the window. And so that was cool. And, our sales went down and everything, but actually we've had a pretty good, we opened back up in June and things are going pretty well. I mean, we sell stuff that help, it helps people get through times when you're not leaving the house, to do art and mess around with that kind of stuff. I mean, one of the reasons I started the business is because there's no art supply store in Decorah, which is a very arty sort of community. And you'd think there'd be an art supply store here. And there's not. And it's not because I'm some great artist or I've done it my whole life or it's what I always wanted to do. It was here's an opportunity. Plus, art supplies are kick ass. Have you ever just,
No, my wife can't come in your store because she buys something every time she walks in.
All that stuff is so great, and it's cool, and, you get to show people maybe things that they haven't seen before, and we're small enough to where we can do that. And so, I don't know, it's fun and exciting. Plus, it's fun to do something that I didn't know that much about, so I'm learning a whole bunch of stuff. But so much of what I learned, visiting bike shops, there's all those cool bike shops that work really well for whatever reason. And a lot of it is the attitude of the people that work there. Is it, you make it kind of a clubhouse or you make it interesting or you make it, the shitty way to say it is you develop a good brand.
Well,
it's real,
It depends on who you're dealing with. I mean, it's mm-hmm. So the month or so ago when I didn't kind of get the idea that I'm going to do this on my own, I drove to Milwaukee.
My very own podcast.
Yeah, well, it was I thought, can I buy this system and just tie it into Greg so I don't have to drive to Milwaukee all the time? Because it's not bad going over there. Yeah. So I have to take a day off because they do theirs on Friday.
Oh, okay.
But it must be Japan time because it's not really on Friday.
Well, Friday in Milwaukee is Tuesday though, isn't it?
Wednesday. Yeah, and the best part is everything you and I just talked about was talked about last night, and I thank God you said what you did because I pretty much said that last night. I'm like, oh, I hope that's how it's going for him.
The weekend in Milwaukee starts on Tuesday and ends the following Wednesday.
Oh, that's horrible. Just imagine I get there and Sue needed popcorn. And the story, I mean, it's on the other podcast, but it's literally this. Sue needed popcorn from Madison from the guy downtown. So I literally had I had aspirations of going there and getting popcorn with the idea that I'm really going to go to Milwaukee and hang out. And it was fun, and we got incredibly drunk after the podcast was over with. But Greg's shop is what you're talking about. Greg's shop is very tiny and very cool and
It's that. It's the one-on-one. It's, it's Farmstead in Minneapolis. It's there's so many shops that are like that. There's a lot of them.
Well, have you been to Gino's new shop?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a community in and of itself.
Yeah, it's a compound now.
It is. Yeah.
Before it was an alley and a weird sketchy building. Now it's this great compound. I think he's working on being an actual cult leader at some point. But it'll be like a benevolent, like good kind of cult that you'd want to join. He won't ask for all your money. You'll just have to sign on for whatever dumb idea he has.
If you want a key to get into the gate.
Who's wearing tube socks?
So the whole idea of doing this thing came from, rather than doing a phone call in, if I got a system similar, would it tie in? Well, that's...
You sound way better on this than you sound on the phone.
On the phone?
Yeah. You sound like an asshole on the phone.
That's because I'm on the wrong side of the mic. If I was on your side, I could be an asshole again. Wait a minute. So, what else? I don't even know how to do for time. We're only at 10 minutes, dude.
I glanced.
Seriously, if you keep this shit up, you're gonna sit over in this mic and I'm going to go over there instead. If you want to run the fucking show, just run it.
Well, let's talk about bikes and then we can get that over with.
Oh, yeah. So this is... I'm gonna have to
what about bikes?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to do this exactly because don't forget, I had this conversation last night.
Okay.
So here's the question I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
And then I have to add to the question now because I saw you earlier tonight.
Okay.
The question is e-bikes, yes or no? And the answer is...
I don't give a fuck.
I was going to say, because you rode by me this afternoon on a Krampus and you came down here on an e-bike.
Yeah.
So,
Here's the thing. There's no such thing. All right, let me back up a little bit. Freedom is a logical fallacy. Because if you have ultimate freedom, something that you do that you believe that you should do will eventually encroach on my freedom, and therefore I cannot have freedom. You know what I mean? Like if you want to,
this podcast is never supposed to get that deep.
No, I know. I was thinking about that. And if you have the freedom to drive as fast as you fucking want and drink as much as you want as you do it, like that might encroach on my freedom if you hit me while I'm on my bike or whatever. You know what I mean? So
exactly, yeah.
And so, I think a lot of people get all worked up about like, ooh, Harley sounds.
Oh yeah, it come through.
It does. That's nice. Yeah. People get worked up about like what other people are doing. Like, I don't know. It's sort of, you know, it's like the, not to bring up, you know, the divisive subject, but, you know, when it comes to women's rights and things like that and reproductive rights, like if you don't want an abortion, don't have one. You know, there's that old argument. It's sort of like an e-bike. If you don't want an e-bike, don't fucking buy one. And, you know, people have gotten angry about, you know, e-bikes on trails and things like that. And I don't know. I mean, you're in a weird zone for it, but I don't know. Well, I think there's a part of it that bike people get into, you know, everybody joins their little tribe and then they're like, well, either you can be in my tribe or you can't be in my tribe. Single speeding is a great example of this.
Perfect example.
Where, you know, single speeding was a reaction to, you know, the dominant paradigm of cycling, which was like go fast, get lighter stuff, get better stuff, spend more money, be flashier. And it was sort of like, well, let's step back and do something that's simple and dumb. But then the simple and dumb became flashy and stupid and, you know.
Well, and I think we've talked about other stuff, you know, and part of that's driven by the industry itself. Look what's happened with high school racing.
I think it's true, but it's also, remember that, I mean, having been in the bicycle industry in whatever capacity I was, and this was always my response, is like, people were, when wheel sizes started, you know, diverging into, you know, from 26 to 29 and then 29 plus and then 27 and a half. And is it 27 and a half or is it 650B and is all this stuff? And then people would bitch on the interwebs because that's what those are for, apparently. They said, oh, yeah.
Again,
should we take a break?
No, finish your comment.
They would, you know, they bitch about, oh, there's so many wheel sizes, there's so many stuff, so many standards now, you know, it's all stupid. You know, do you know why those standards exist? Because you asked for them.
Because there's a need. That's why 29's come around.
It's not a need, it's a want.
Yeah.
No, right. So it's like, so somebody says, hey, I want this. And any company worth its salt listens to that. Whether or not they do something about it is a whole other story. But, you know, if somebody is expressing, I want this thing and it does not exist, and you can make that and then make money and continue doing what you do, then that's a thing that they do. So it's like, so that's why those things exist. But it's, you know, e-bikes are the same way. People wanted them, and so they're here. You know, like, that's capitalism, which,
and
you know,
in my horrible way of thinking, it just gives me something else to bitch about because it was carbon fiber. And
there's a lot of things to bitch about, and I get it, and it's fun. And I, you know, whatever. If you want to bitch about him, I think that's great. But it's also like, you know, again, it's sort of, it's drawn another, like, it's putting up another fence and saying, this is us and that's them. And, you know, and
yeah. I think hold on a second. We need to do this. So those guys have Top of the Hill and they ring the bell. We're not screwing around with that. We're just going to go with the sound.
Ooh, that was a double.
That was so nice. I almost think we timed that.
Anyway, so I don't know. When it comes to, I own, I bought a Luna Cycles Bafang, you know, kit for that turned my bottom bracket into a motor. And because when we started the store, we got rid of one of our cars. And so we have one car between the two of us, which means Shannon drives that. Because she does a lot more moving around than I do. And I go down to the shop and come home, but I live on a hill. And
you live on a big hill.
It's not long, but it's steep. It's a pain in the ass. Yeah. And you know, it's not any kind of super difficult thing, but if I get to the store and I realize I forgot my keys or, you know, something like that, then I was like, oh crap. And yes, but that's the thing. You get into there's the argument is like, you know, so am I suddenly, you know, not tough enough to be in the club because I did that, you know, because I want my life to be a little easier. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, the nice thing is I use it as a write-off for the business because it's my company car.
never even thought about that.
I know.
That.
That's yeah. The other part. But so, you know, and the funny thing is, you know, I have complicated relationship with it, like, because forever, like, I was really proud of riding back and forth to QBP.
I'm a little nervous you said relationships with an e-bike. I'm kind of worried about this.
Baby.
Does Shannon know?
Shannon knows. But I was proud of myself for riding to, you know, my commute in the cities used to be 16 miles one way to work. And I did not ride it every day. I was not Dave Gray. I was not, you know, Trevor Clayton. I was not those people that, you know, I don't think I ever saw driving a car. So I was somewhere in between there, but that was a source of pride for me. Like, I liked riding into work and it felt good. It felt healthy and all this stuff. And it feels good now, but I sort of define myself as this bike rider guy, you know? And so now it's like, well, does this change who I am? And honestly, at the end of the day, I come back to my original answer, which is I don't give a fuck. You don't have to care. You don't have to care what I ride.
No.
Because it doesn't affect you. I don't have to care because the only thing that's a downside is like how other people might perceive me, which is bullshit. Like, who cares about that? Except I do. I just want everybody to like me. Please like me.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. My bigger thing is that there's a bit of an etiquette problem. And the busier trails, we don't see it. Well, no, I take that back. Believe it or not, we've had more trouble down here on the Trout Run Trail than we've had in Rochester.
Well, the e-bikes have taken off here a lot because, you know, the one shop in town is selling the crap out of them and renting the crap.
Yeah, they rent a lot of them, yeah.
And also, so we have one of the most gorgeous 12-mile sections of trail there is. It's a paved trail that goes around in a circle around Decorah, but it goes along the river, and it kind of goes through town, and then suddenly you go under the highway, and you're in the country. And you go past the trout hatchery, you go past where the eagle lives, and then you go up two pretty sizable hills, right?
Right, right.
And so there are a lot of people who, you know, will ride out to the trout hatchery because that's the flat part and then ride back. But, you know, we want to ride the whole thing. And there's a lot of people there, well, you should ride all the way up. And it's like, well, maybe they can't. Maybe they won't. Maybe they don't want to.
And a bit of the problem is the campground is on the hilliest part. So it's at the bottom of it,
but
you can't, if you go out and just jump right straight on the trail,
yeah, you're
climbing,
up.
You're climbing for about 4 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up and down. It goes up and down the valleys, but in essence, you're climbing for 4 miles. And, you know, mom and dad in a camper with their kids on there.
They're not going to
It's not good. Yeah. No. It's, but you know, we've lived down here for 2 years now and we ride it every time we're down here, and then some, because Sue really likes riding it. And
you had the guy that kind of came up on you.
So I don't know if I told that story. So for this broadcast, we'll tell it. But first of all, Sue really likes riding the trail. She doesn't like riding off-road.
Is Sue competitive? A little.
A little, yeah. It was, so what happened was, is we were, so when you ride a tandem, climbing is not fun, and neither one of us are strong.
I mean,
not,
here's the thing, like, you know, you talk about e-bikes, and you have a tandem. I mean, there's all kinds of nerdy bikes, bro.
Oh, yeah, there is.
All right, go ahead.
You know, other than my tandem and one fat bike, I don't have a geared bike. So when I go ride with people, it's...
They have no gears?
No, they just spin. I just have to have somebody push me.
All right, anyway, so there you are. Ride your tandem.
So ride our tandem, and we're going up... we're going counterclockwise. Yeah, so that doesn't mean anything to anybody other than
you. It's
a cool
way to go.
Yeah. I think so. That's the only way I want to ride it.
Some people say it's the hard way.
We're, like, when we're almost to what I would call the last climb of the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know,
up to that little, there's a little bench at the top.
I took my hockey buddies up there drinking one night, and they freaking lost their mind just climbing up there. We literally drank about two cases of beer just to get them back home. They didn't realize they were going downhill the rest of the way, but that was beside the point. So Sue and I are just about to the top, and this dude rides up next to us, and he goes, "Take off the brake, take off the brake." He's kind of giving a shit, right? And he's on a he's on an e-bike.
Because you're riding.
And he's close to my age, but he's a tall, thin, very fit guy.
I hate tall people.
And so just wait, this gets worse. So he passes us, and then we crest, and then we're riding along, and it serpentines. Well, we caught him on the serpentines going down, and we're on a tandem, so we're fast going downhill.
Oh, yeah.
And we're totally ignoring the guy. We're just, like, literally carrying on a conversation.
You're ignoring him verbally.
Yes, but
in your mind.
But no. But, no, that was Sue. Sue might have a different story, okay, but I could give a shit less about him.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm
telling the story for the seventh time.
But my brakes are squealing. So we're like, all the way behind him, right? And we followed him all the way down the switchbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get in the flat spot, and I go, you know, I said to him, I know I told the story a million times, but I said, you know, we're a little bit faster on the downhill, and on the flats we're fast, but we're even faster downhill. You know, just kind of apologizing for what we did.
Yeah.
And he just called me fatty, and then Sue's and I'm like, well, he's not wrong, but at the same time,
Sue used to be fatter.
So Sue lost her shit,
that makes sense.
And then we're riding toward the trout hatchery, and we get to the trout hatchery, so we lose him. And we get to the trout hatchery, and then there's so many people looking for the eagles and stuff where they come to a stop, right?
Yeah.
We let everybody through, and all of a sudden, he's fucking drafting us. Now, there's a dick. He's a dick to start with, and he's drafting us on an e-bike, and Sue goes, pedal faster. She goes, he's right behind us. He's drafting. And I go, well, we've got two more gears. She goes, well, then fucking shift. And away we went, and we literally did lose the guy. But the thing was is for the next month and a half, it didn't matter what time of day we went out there, we saw him. He doesn't, I don't know if he do. So here's my problem. If you're trying to get in shape, if you're trying to just exercise, does it make sense to use an e-bike three times a day?
Well, any moving is better than no moving. So there's that. But there's also here's what that story brings up for me. Is like, you know, that guy would be probably an asshole on a regular bike. He'd be an asshole on a single speed. He'd be an asshole in a car. You know what I mean? Like, they're just, you know, the bike you're on doesn't make you who you are.
True.
You know, it may shine a light on who you are. But I don't know. It's the same thing, you know, triathletes. Oh, fucking triathletes, you know, or whatever. And, you know, they
are assholes.
There's a lot of people who go into triathlons because they are type A people, and they are really super tightly wound because they want to have a better time and they want to always be better. And you and I are not that. No. And so we look at that and we're like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
In my hockey career, when I have a kid that can't get along with anybody, I say, you should maybe take up bicycling.
Well, think about it. Think about all the idiots that we know. And, like, the people that are in the bike industry or the people that are real bike nerds, they're the people for whom team sports served nothing.
Exactly. You know? Like, yeah.
So either they can't one of the saddest things I ever saw in my life was I was at a Quality Bicycle Products retreat in my early years of working there, probably 2001 or something like that. And we went to this, you know, like a resort up, you know, is either, you know, like Cable or someplace like that, or up on the North Shore in Minnesota. And somebody got out a football and they're throwing it around. And there's nothing worse than watching bike people toss a football around. Yeah. It's so painful because I'm not good at it. And so, like, but I'm also not going to engage in it. But none of us can throw a football. Maybe one or two, but I don't know what they're doing here. You know, it's sort of like, you know,
that's like, have you ever seen Deke throw a softball? I don't know.
I cannot say that.
I don't know. I've of a girl I've ever seen that throws worse than he does, and that's including my wife Sue, who has like one of the wimpiest arms in the world.
I wouldn't go there because I actually. Well, anyway.
Well, that's you're in Iowa. There's a really lot of good ball players.
We remember when dodgeball happened.
Oh yeah,
it was for like 10 minutes.
Did you guys have a team at QBP?
We had a team at QBP, and one of the funny things is like we sucked because of this very reason, because none of us could throw. We're like, oh my god, we got murdered. Except somebody's daughter, somebody that worked there, her daughter played, and she was a softball player, and she was a total badass. Like she would just. You know, do the around, like the pitch, like the around the windmill pitch.
Oh, really?
And she would just destroy people. It was like they would just liquefy humans. And I was like, well, we got one person that could play, and the rest of us were just like, fix game,
God, I can't imagine.
Yeah, we're dumb. It was, of course, it was in uptown Minneapolis.
I remember you guys playing.
Worst case scenario. We played once.
That's it? I thought you guys joined a league.
We did.
Oh, you only played one game?
I think we only played once. I don't know. I might be wrong, but it was traumatic for everybody. I enjoy dodgeball, even though we got murdered. Some people really.
You're into pain, getting hit by a piece of rubber or what?
Some people, you know, there are a lot of people who hated gym class in school. You know, there's lots of reasons for that. I mean, it can be one of those, it can be really traumatic. It can be, you know, like. Not getting picked on the team or just an asshole gym teacher or just letting the wild kids go or whatever it is. I was kind of enjoyed it. Maybe that says I'm an asshole, but I mean, and I had a modicum of athletic ability, but just running mostly.
Really? You don't seem like a runner.
No, not like running, not like going out for a run. I've done that like 3 times in my life. It did not work out.
The reason they invented the wheel.
Oh man, I am awkward at running. I mean, I'm 6'6" tall, about 235 pounds. Just not designed to run.
I was gonna say, where did your coolie go?
I took it out of the little.
It's not empty yet, I don't think.
No, I'm still drinking.
Okay, good. Just checking.
Anyway, how are we doing?
We got time.
Are we winning?
We're winning. We want to do one more story we want to talk about.
Sure.
I really.
You know, it's cool that Ragbri didn't happen this year.
Oh, yeah. You know, and actually Saturday I'm going to interview a guy that I ride with in Rochester who his dad probably did every Ragbri up until a few years ago. Wow. And Jeremy's probably been doing them since he was.
I'll leave that to 19. Him. Then.
Yeah, no. But I want to hear your thoughts on it too.
Well, you know, there was the whole thing last year with the big split, and so they started a different Ragbri.
Right.
And this was going to be the year that it happened, and I'm glad that Ragbri didn't happen for the reason that there didn't have to be two of them, because you know you can make say what you want about Ragbri. I mean, I went the first time when I was 16. It was my family's vacation. I've probably done it a dozen times. And I've done it all the ways. I've done it as a family. I've done it, you know, kind of mostly by myself. I've done it with, you know, a bunch of ne'er-do-wells at the back.
Kim West actually posted a picture of us.
Did he?
Yeah, on Dragbri.
That's not us. That's you. I would have done it.
You were in there, weren't you?
No, I didn't. No, I never did.
Oh, no, because you guys were on Evil then, so you weren't with the Dragbri bunch.
No, I never. I didn't. I knew you, but I didn't know. I didn't know Kim West, and I didn't know the... that whole crew. Since my first bike shop job was in Iowa City, you know, there were people, there were a lot of people that we know in common, but
right, yeah,
but I was, you know, well, that was when I was trying to be a road racer.
And actually the funny thing was is that picture was on it was on fatbike.com. Oh. And Greg Smith posted it, and I didn't know he was on it with us.
Greg Smith?
Yeah. I know it. I was like, he didn't have to wear a wig. He actually had the hair that went with it. But it was really funny because he posted it. I think he posted it. Wait, he's posting it tomorrow, I think.
We've all known each other forever.
That's just it. You know, and Kim West now has become, I'll have to do a podcast with him because, and you have to come because he is like one of the coolest guys in the world. He has.
Go ahead.
No, I met him. He was, I don't know if he was done with his racing career or not. I mean, that whole bunch was faster than shit on a road bike.
For sure.
And
that's some of the Iowa City guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they were. I tried to ride with Mongo.
And Bowling Ball. And those guys.
I was down there then. I was working in the shop then.
And all those guys were faster than shit, but they always did.
Dumb kid.
They always did what they called drag bry. So there was one day that they all dressed in drag and they did a contest, and whoever won it by the crowd, they gave a sash away. We'll have him on.
I love it.
Because he now is like a greyhound dog rescue guy.
Oh God, that he's.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think he's out there right now.
Shannon's whole family is greyhound nuts.
Oh really? Yeah. We'll bring Shannon down when he calls.
She
him.
Loves I'm greyhounds. Calling in, yeah. She wants us to get a greyhound, and I'm just
actually. Do you have internet at your house so we can do it at your house instead?
No.
Fuck. All right. Wait, did I just swear on this?
So anywho.
But I mean, so Kim West is a guy that, if I remember correctly, he played keyboard for a couple years for the Greg Allman Band. And he's a lawyer. And he's
a pretty fascinating
kid. He is. He's amazing. And you know,
and he's a smart guy on the interwebs too.
He's had one or two heart surgeries.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they were. And he's, because of that, he's really stayed at home and stayed tight. And so he does every day a little thing on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
And which, again, you're right. He's smart. So he figured out how to screw Facebook and everybody else. So he was playing songs and then, you know, like listen to an album and then he would talk and the album was playing in the background and then he was getting kicked off by Facebook. He goes, this is a college. And now they can't touch him.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
We'll
have him on. We'll have to talk to him because he's an incredibly interesting guy.
I met him once at Jingle Cross.
Does this mean you're going to be my sidekick? Now I got to do the shit with you every
week. You're funny, Raul. Sure, I'll do it. I met Kim, and he may not remember this, but I went to Jingle Cross for the first time because I'd never been down there. I'd heard about it, you know, obviously, because it's such a huge thing, the Iowa City cross race thing. And this was right before it became like the big sanctioned UCI event that it became, is? I don't know.
Anyway, I think it still is, yeah.
Anyway, and I went down there ostensibly for Surly, but, you know, not really. And I hung out with the 30 Cent Bike Squad folk.
Jesus.
Yeah, me and them. And then I was down there, like, I was going to write a blog about it, but it ended up being two fuzzy cell phone shots of me, like, far away from the crowd, like, just wandering around, not knowing where I was for some reason. I don't know. It was a great story.
I've got guys from Rochester that always were up until it became a UCI thing, and I think more so because they changed the date, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, Jingle Cross suggests that it should be somewhere near, you know.
But it was.
Then they changed it to, like, September or
wasn't
August.
Wasn't it Thanksgiving before that?
Maybe.
Or right around there, like Thanksgiving weekend or something? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
It's like cycle cross. Who the hell knows?
This is the old guy podcast. Remember when that thing happened? Yeah. No. Yeah. Nah, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. You know that guy? I think we both know him.
See, the nice thing is, because we're old enough, we can say whatever the fuck we want. And
nobody cares.
Yeah, there's you know, don't fact check us because that'll never happen.
E-bikes, don't care.
No. Nope. I do. I still hate them.
But it's like...
I think because e-bikes come around, I hate...
Is it because, like...
I hate carbon
it's,
less.
Is it because, like, it's making it too easy for people and you did it the hard way? Is that... I mean, here's the thing. Here's the other analogy. The other analogy I thought of. So I like to fly fish. And there's a lot of that around here. Trout fishing is a big deal. And it's fun. One of the reasons that fly fishing is fun is because it's hard. I think it's harder than your average, you know, spin cast style fishing. Like it's like there's a lot of minute, you know, details. There's a lot of, you know, it's hard. You know, you're out there, you're trying to back cast, not get into a tree, and, you know, fishing in these tiny little streams. It's not like, you know, going out with, you know, 300 beers in a John boat and just, you know, drowning worms for catfish. So it's hard, but that also means that there is a percentage of the population who fly fishes who hates the other kind of fishing because it's easier. You know what I mean?
Is that
what's going on here? Do you hate e-bikes because it's easier?
To a point, I think that hits it on the head a little bit. I think, um, I, It's a bicycle, and the reason I ride a bicycle, I don't do anything to get fit. If I want to get fit, I'm quit drinking beer and eating stupid food. Yeah. But I really like riding a bicycle, and I think what drew me to single speed riding and racing was the fact that you can't get any simpler than that.
It was filled with assholes.
Single speed wasn't. Single speed is all fun,
but
guys.
The right kind of assholes.
Yeah, but
no. When I say
assholes. Oh, assholes, the good assholes. Yeah. But more so it was like, if you want to go faster, pedal faster. You want to go slower, pedal slower. If you can't climb that hill, get fucking stronger. And I still, to a point, had that mentality.
But
and
that's
so
like,
e-bikes take that away.
But it's so judgy. Like, who cares?
It is.
Somebody else does.
Well, and oh shit, that was too far away. You okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. Sorry.
part of me hates them because of its technology, and I don't think bicycles should be, there should be an improvement in technology, but it shouldn't be, everybody should be able to fix their bicycle at home.
Yeah, it's true.
And most people can't,
there's lots of shoulds, man. I don't know. I don't think we're going to solve it tonight.
You don't because we're 5 minutes over.
Oh, shit.
I know it. Greg's going to hate us.
You could cut out my story about whatever.
I'm not cutting out shit. I'm just sending this to him and say, fuck you. Listen, if you don't like it.
This is that, as long
I,
as
I think that's actually the advantage of a podcast. You say it's going to be 30 minutes long.
Oh, it's not like somebody's going to, there's end.
Yeah, there's not like, it's not like we have to go to a commercial break or anything.
It's not like the next show has to start.
Okay.
I listened to a 30-minute podcast and it was 35 minutes.
That could happen.
Fucking sons of bitches.
Well, look at, and not that that's who I'm trying to be, but look at Joe Rogan's go anywhere from an hour and 5 minutes to 2.5-3 hours, depending on how interesting the guy is.
I don't listen to that guy.
I did. I do.
It seems like he's kind of a dick, but I don't know. I mean, that's my impression of not ever listening to
it. Yeah, I pretty much with pretty much anybody, it's less about like. For this one, for example, it's less about the guy that's running it. So Joe Rogan, myself, whatever. It's more about the people that he's talking to.
Yeah, but I'm not interesting.
Oh, no. You had absolutely nothing to fucking say the whole time you've been here. God.
No, I think
seriously.
Having the impression that I'm interesting and me being interesting are two very
You've already things. Used bigger words than I would ever hope to use, so that's fine. But don't forget, we did it, and I think this was brought up as a couple podcasts ago with Greg and those guys, but... I'm sorry, I keep bringing back them. Eventually, I won't even talk about those fuckers anymore. Right.
They're good people.
But we did a podcast with you and I and Spinner Pat Mirisch. And Pat Mirisch is Drunk Cyclist. And we literally did 3 hours. And it was 3 hours after we had gone out and gotten totally annihilated the night before. I broke 3 ribs on that ride.
Oh, yeah.
And we came down here and we did a podcast down here. It was 3 hours and it was really fun and it was awesome. And because we were like... basically we're reminiscing about old stuff that we did and none of it turned out. So we had like 3 hours of fucking dead air almost. It was like, God damn it. So it didn't turn out. So I'm hoping to reincarnate it a bit with you and bring in Pat Mirisch because he's got great stories from.
He does. Can I tell one more story?
No, yeah.
That reminded me of something.
Okay.
We were at a dirt demo 1 year and Lael Wilcox was there.
Yes.
And she's awesome. She's just...
She is. She's fantastic.
So she had recently, at that point, won the Ram, the big race across America. Didn't
amazing.
She win that thing? Like,
she did
handed
amazing.
Everybody their ass. And so I was... I had this idea I was going to do this thing for Surly. I was going to do interviews. It was like podcasts before there were podcasts. Like, what I'm saying is I'm a revolutionary.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so I was just going to record an interview, and we never talked about her winning or being fast or whatever. And the reason was I didn't know. I didn't know that she was just a person that I had met that day, and I didn't know, like, how awesome a rider she was. I knew how awesome a human she was. And then later on I found that out. I was like the next day. And I was like, oh. I guess I'm kind of an asshole. No, but it was very cool because we were just yakking about regular stuff.
That is something about cyclists. I mean, they're if you're a famous cyclist, granted, overall you're not a real famous person.
Yeah,
but at the same time, when you're in the industry and you know that person, you're famous. They don't think they're famous.
Yeah,
they're just kind of like there's a few the ones that are arrogant.
Yeah.
If they washed dishes, they'd be arrogant about washing dishes, right?
There was a guy that won world championships in mountain biking, and it was I can't remember his name. This was probably mid 2000s, and it was weird. Again, it was a dirt demo. I guess I do most of my dirt dumb shit at dirt demo, and. There's this, you know, this was back when Surly had 2 10x10 pop-up tents, like, in a row, so we had 10 feet, and we had, like, 3 bikes.
And I used to come out there and drink with you guys.
Yeah, well, who didn't? And, yeah. I mean, of course, we loved having you. Anyway, it's a long story, but a whole group of specialized guys were going out, and this is me being young and kind of an asshole. And they go out, and there's one guy wearing the world champ stripes. And I was like, nice world champ stripes, dick. Well, it was the world champion. And
it wasn't Tinker.
No.
Because Tinker's always out there.
No, this guy was like, he was Belgian or some shit. Because the next day, a buddy of mine, you know, Nick Sandy, was talking to somebody who ended up being his girlfriend. And he told her about it, and they were laughing about it. So the next day, he came up, and he handed me a card of his, like a photo thing that was signed, and he said, just in case you're wondering, I actually am the world champion. I was like, we had a good laugh about it because he's a great and funny guy, but it was because I was an asshole that I met him. I don't know what the lesson is.
No, that's he's it's like Troy.
But later on, here's my vindication, is later on he got busted for doping.
Oh, well, see, then you know, you kind of pegged him right up front.
Yeah, I sounds dirty.
All right, I think we're over a limit.
All right.
Wait a minute, I can do this one time.
Thanks.
One second.
Thanks for having me on, Ron. I can't believe you didn't use that either.
I don't know
just
what
in the middle of a story.
Yeah, just start fuck your story.
Actually, there's actual crickets out here.
There is. This is like
we're
seriously
in the backyard.
We're in the backyard and it's awesome back here. That's why we bought this place. Other than we're too close to too many assholes. Sav lives up the hill.
True.
Captain's close by. I'm afraid Spinner might actually wind up living in the neighborhood too sometime.
Ooh,
so
it could happen.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks again for coming.
Thanks.
We'll maybe do this again. You and I should probably do. We got some people we should probably call and talk to. I'll come down.
I'm in.
All right.
Whatever.
Thanks again for listening, everybody. Talk to you later.